Today we're going to study the introduction to the Chovos HaLevavos. There are Svarim that we learn the introductions to that are nice Svarim, Svarim that are good to learn, Svarim that are interesting to learn, and every once in a while, more than every once in a while, we do a Sefer that's more than just interesting, it's critical. And Chovos HaLevavos is one such critical text. Chovos HaLevavos can best be defined as a Machshava / Musar Sefer. It doesn't fit neatly into either category alone. It's a combination of, I guess, what you would call Machshava and Musar. The author is Rabbeinu Bachya Ibn Pakuda, who is not the same as the Rabbeinu Bachya or Rabbeinu Bachya on the Chumash. Different Rabbeinu Bachya. Rabbeinu Bachya Ibn Pakuda, it was written apparently originally in Arabic and was translated but it was translated early on. It was translated like almost 1,000 years ago. It was written about 1,000 years ago. It was translated like 900 years ago. So it was a long, long time ago. We don't know much about the author, at least I don't know much about the author, but from what you can tell is that he's obviously a Talmud Chacham, obviously a very, very deep thinker, and someone who's clearly very well versed, not just in Jewish thought, but in secular philosophy and mathematics as well, and he draws on that. He draws on that knowledge. The Sefer is a critical Sefer, as I mentioned before. It describes, he himself describes how nobody did an adequate job of expressing Jewish ethics clearly in a single book until he came along, and that's why he's writing this Sefer, because in his research he hasn't found anyone do this yet. There are many Gedolim in this edition, in the Feldheim edition of the Chovos HaLevavos. In the foreword, they quote from various sources of different Gedolim who emphasized the need to learn specifically this Sefer. The author of Mil Tzedakah said that you shall learn this Bi'iyun, the way you would learn Negoyim and Olos, meaning the way you would learn the most complex halachic topics. That's the way you should learn. It shouldn't just be something that you read through. It's a Sefer that every word is measured, and you have to read it very carefully and contemplate it and think about what it means in our own lives and in our own belief system and in our own way of thinking about things. It's identified as a key Musar Sefer by Rav Elimelech Nilujinsk. He identifies a few books, and this is one of them. The Chassam Sofer would learn it apparently every single day with his Talmidim before Shir for 15 minutes. So the Chassam Sofer decided which Sefer was critical to learn before Shir every day. It was Chovos HaLevavos, because he thought that that was going to teach the proper Derech in Avodas Hashem, and he thought that that was important. The Gadol Miminsk said that when the Gemara in Brachos Daf Hei says that if someone is Baal of Yisurin, someone who's suffering from Yisurin, Yifashvesh B'masov, He should analyze his actions. The best way to do that, said the Gadol Miminsk, is by learning Chovos HaLevavos. Because we don't know exactly what we're supposed to be seeking out unless we know exactly what our Chovos HaLevavos are, what we're supposed to believe, what we're supposed to think, how we're supposed to approach things. The Stipler in his Haskama to an edition of Chovos HaLevavos writes that somebody who doesn't learn Chovos HaLevavos will be missing something spiritually, meaning it's something you can't get from other Svarim. It's something that will be missing on a spiritual level. In fact, the Chida in the Shema Gedolim even not only says about the importance of learning the Chovos HaLevavos, he specifically refers to the importance of reading the introduction and learning the introduction of the Chovos HaLevavos. So as far as Hakdamos go, you know, there are some Hakdamos that are not so well known, some Hakdamos that are more famous. There aren't so many Hakdamos where people say you must read this Hakdama, that it's a must read, it's something that a person needs to know. The Chovos HaLevavos is extremely organized, so that's why I enjoy reading it. It's one of the reasons I enjoy learning it, is it's very, very organized. So if you're into being able to clearly outline things and knowing, you know, where everything fits, it's very, very good in that way. There are 10 sha'arim, and he tells you what the 10 sha'arim are going to be in advance in the introduction. And each sha'ar, if he says there are 6 reasons for this, he will then give you one and number them. 1, 2, 3, very, very clear, very, very organized Sefer, categories, subcategories, extremely well done on that level. So now let's get to learning a little bit of the Akdama. We're not going to read the whole Akdama inside, because it's just too long to fit into the 40 to 45 minutes that we have today before I have to go do carpool. But we'll at least get the basic idea of the Akdama, and we'll read sections inside. He starts off by saying, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael, that we should thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's done so much good for us and who continues to do so much good for us. But HaGedola Shebetovos, the greatest good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for us, Asher Heitiv Bem HaBori LaAvadav HaMedabrim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given to mankind. Mankind is a Medaber, other levels of creation. We have a domain. This table is a domain. It can't do anything. It just is. We have a Tzomeach, that which can grow. Then we have a Bal Chai, like an animal. And then the Medaber is the highest level of Bria. The greatest thing God gave a Medaber is Hi HaChachma, is wisdom, which is the Chaye Rucham, Ner Sichlam, intellect, the ability to think about things. That's the greatest gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. But he says Chachma itself can be divided into three components, can be divided into three categories. HaChachma mischalekes l'shlosh ha-chalakim. HaChelek HaRishon, the first chelek of Chachma, is Hi Chachmas HaYetziros Shekorin LaBeloshon Arav Al-Im Il-Tibi is Arabic. The Chachmas Tivei Agufos Mekrayan is natural sciences. That's the first level of Chachma, to understand things, to understand the mountains and the oceans and things in this world. Hachelek Hasheni, Hi Chachmas Hashimush, Shekorin LaBeloshon Arabi Al-Im Roti. V'hi chachmas, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. V'hi chachmas haminyan v'ashiurim, that's mathematics, kochavim, astronomy, chachmas hanigun, anikris musica, chachma of music. All of this is a second level of chachma. But v'achelek hashlishi, the third chelek of chachma, is al'im eloki, hi chachmas ha'elokus, is the godly chachma. Knowing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, knowing His Torah, deep intellect, theology, understanding religion, understanding what our relationship is with the Ribono Shel Olam. The first two levels of Chachma, he goes on to say, are critical for understanding the world and for meeting our physical needs. If we want to understand how the world works around us, and we want to know how to mine medication out of nature, and how to find out how to master nature, Milvas Arts V'Kivshua, we need to master the first two levels of Chachma. The third level of Chachma, though, he says, is the highest level of Chachma, and it's necessary for Torah. One can't learn it one is not allowed to learn this level of Chachma for Anas Olam Hazeh. He quotes two Gemaras to prove that you're not allowed to use this Chachma just to get Hana'a in this world. One Gemara is the Gemara Nedarim, Daf Samach Beis Amud Aleph. Tanya, the Braisa tells us, La'ava Hashem Elokecha L'shmo B'kolo L'dav Kabo. We have to love Hashem, listen to Him, attach ourselves to Him. Shelo Yomar Adam Ekra Kedei She'ikruni Chacham. A person should not say that I'll learn so that people will call me a Chacham. Eshne Kedei She'ikruni Rebbe. I'll learn Mishnah so that people will call me Rebbe. Eshne Kedei She'azakin Veishim B'yeshiva. Or I'll learn Mishnah so that people will respect me. Elo L'mad Me'ava V'sof Kavod Lavo. You learn out of Ava, and eventually the Kavod comes. Amru, Asay Dvarim L'Shem Pa'olam, V'daber Behem L'Shmam, V'altasei Matar L'Skadol Behem Lo Kardom Lachtuch Behem. A person is supposed to learn for the sake of, learning for the sake of serving Hashem, and to learn totally L'Shma, and not to use it as a means to an end, to be able to be respected, or to be able to make a living. Those things may or may not come, but the point is that we're supposed to learn L'Shma. That's what we're supposed to use this Chachma for. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Yutes, Ashrei Ish Yireas Hashem B'Mitzvosav Chafetz Ma'od. Amar B'Lazar B'Mitzvosav V'lo B'Schar Mitzvosav. The Pasuk says B'Mitzvosav Chafetz Ma'od. What do we want? What do we desire so much? The mitzvos, not the schar mitzvos. It's not the reward that we're interested in. It's the mitzvos themselves, like the Mishnah Pirkei Avos tells us. Al tiyu kavadim amisham shemesarav al menas lekabel pras. El avu kavadim amisham shemesarav shalom al menas lekabel pras. Don't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu just because we want reward. We serve Hashem shalom al menas lekabel pras. We serve Hashem even not to want reward. Now, of the three chachmas, like he said, theology is the most important one, and certainly it's the one that's critical to understand Torah. But in order to master theology, he says, you need three ingredients in order to master what Jewish theology is. Number one, he says, you need haseichal enitzal mikol pega. You need a clear, logical mind. You can't be, your mind should not be clouded with other things. It should not be biased in any way. You need a clear, thinking, logical mind. And in order to do that, in order to accomplish that, he doesn't discuss how to accomplish getting a clear, logical mind, but one cannot be motivated by taivos and by other things, because then you are always going to see things, like we read in yesterday's parasha, that shochad yaver enecha chamim salev divrei tzadikim. If we bribe ourselves with the taivos of this world, we're not going to see things clearly. No matter how smart we are, no matter how intelligent we are, we need to be clear in our thinking. We need to be unbiased in our thinking. Second, he says, you need Hasheni Sefer Torah and Asuna L'Moshe Neviyo. We need the Torah. We need the actual Torah that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. And third is Hakabolo Shekibalnu Mikadmonenu Shekiblu Min HaNeviim Aleihem HaShalom. We also need our tradition. We need all the messages that our Neviim gave us and that our Chachamim throughout the generations gave us. And with those three things, a clear and logical mind, the Torah, and our traditions, we will then be able to begin to master theology. And he starts out the meat of his introduction by saying that Torah is really divided into two parts. Once we've identified Torah as something that we want and theology as something that we need, Torah itself is divided into two parts. Torah is divided into what you could call Chovas Ha'evarim and Chovas Halavavos. Chovas Ha'evarim means things that we do physically. We take a lulav, we blow shofar, we put on tefillin, we put on tzitzis, we say brachos. All of these things are physical actions. Chovas ha'evarim come in the form of mitzvos asay and mitzvos lo asay. There are things that we do, things we have to refrain from doing. Chovas ha'evarim come in the form of logical mitzvos and mitzvos that are chukim, like shatnis and things like that, that we don't understand, that are not logical, that we wouldn't be able to ever figure out on our own. Those are Chovas Eivarim that we are very, very familiar with. Most of our study in yeshiva in general is about Chovas Eivarim. We learn the Gemara, we talk all about Chovas Eivarim. We talk about what we have to do, what we can't do, who's chayiv for what, what your chayiv. Those are all related to Chovas Eivarim. But then he says there's Chovas Halavavos. And he says Chovas Halavavos can also be divided into both mitzvahs asay and mitzvahs lo asay. For example, what are the positives of Chovas Halavavos, the duties of the heart, which really means the mind, but it means the emotional center of Judaism, the theological, emotional, and intellectual center of how we approach Judaism? He says, well, we have to have emunah b'Hashem. That's an asay. We have to believe that there is no second God, that there's no the Achdus Hashem, that Hashem is a yachid ba'olamo. We have to contemplate the amazing, wondrous creation that God put into place. We have to trust Hashem. We have to have bitachon. We have to humble ourselves in front of Hashem. We have to fear Hashem. We have to always give up our own desires for the Ratzon Hashem. We have to do all of these things. We have to love those who love Hashem, hate those who hate Hashem. All of these things are mitzvos asay of Chovas Halavavos. What about mitzvos lo asay of Chovas Halavavos? So he says, well, certainly the opposite of all the things we just said would be lo asay of Chovas Halavavos, right? We shouldn't not to believe in other gods and the opposite of all the asays. But he said even beyond that, lo nachmo, lo nikam, lo nitar es b'nei amenu. Chovas Halavavos includes not to be vengeful, not to be envious of other people. Those are emotions. Those are emotions. Our Kodesh Baruch Hu commands us in emotions as well. It's not, people ask the Kasha, how can you command an emotion? I either feel it or I don't. We have control over our emotions. We do. We're capable of controlling our emotions. We sometimes need to train ourselves to better control our emotions, but we are, human beings are capable of controlling their emotions. Someone who by nature gets angry easily can work on himself and not get angry so easily. These are things that we're able to, someone who by nature always wants what the other guy has, always wants the next big thing. We are able to control that. We can do something about that. It's one of the big fallacies that it's unbelievable for centuries. People believe that there's like this what the psychologists call today the fixed mindset. They believe we are what we are. You know, there are smart people and stupid people. There are talented people and not talented people. There are fat people and skinny people. There are it's a fallacy. We aren't what we are. We are what we make ourselves. You could trade. We use such a small amount of our intellectual ability and our physical capacity that we could train almost anybody to be really, really good at almost anything. There are very few people, other than like the bottom, let's say, 2% and the top 2%. You could train anyone in the middle 96 pretty much to be at the top of that middle 96 in anything, in athletic achievement, in anything, as long as they really dedicate themselves to it. And they're willing to fail, and they're willing to learn from their failures, and they're willing to try hard, and we could do these things. And we can control our emotions, we can become better people. Now, the author of Chovos HaLevavos then says, so he started looking, V'chakarti, he says, I started looking into other svarim, and to see what other svarim have been written about with regard to Chovos HaLevavos, to see if there's any book that really goes through what a Jew has to believe, what a Jew has to think, what a Jew has to feel, you know, to find, is there any such book? And he says, I found that there are three types of books written after the Chasimus HaTalmud. There are essentially three types of all books that were written after the Chasimus HaTalmud, up to his time, he said, could be divided into three categories. One category is Lefarish Sefer HaTorah VaNeviim, books of commentaries on Tanakh, and either textually based commentaries or thematically based commentaries, but commentaries. Ha'inyin Hasheni, L'chaber Inyonei HaMitzvos Al Derech Tzara. Kitzer books that describe, these are the Taryag Mitzvos, you know, things that describe halachos, things of that nature. Ha'inyin Hashlishi, L'yashev Inyonei HaTorah B'lvavenu B'darchei HaRayos U'tshuvos HaBikorsim. Says then you have philosophy books, Jewish philosophy books, which is closer to what I'm going to get to, says the Chovos HaLevavos, but even that, the Jewish philosophy books are mostly about proving Judaism is right and, you know, answering the tainas of the Apikorsim. It's not about what we believe. It's about how we respond with our belief to the belief of others. And he said, that's not really what I'm interested in doing. No one really has spoken about what we must believe, what we must think, what we must feel. No one's really spoken about our Chovos HaLevavos as an independent entity, as opposed to a reactionary thing. And he says, it's really shocking. It's shocking that something this important to our religion hasn't earned itself its own book. So he said, I started to think about why. He says, Tama Gedola, Ad Shamarti Belibi, Shema Amina Zemin Amitzos, Eina Nachman Chayavim, Bamina Torah. He said, I started to think, why would no one have written such a book like this? So he said, I came up with a number of possibilities, about six possibilities why no one would have written a book like this, and I discovered that all the possibilities are wrong. That it can't be, that every single possibility of why no one would have written a book is wrong, and there's no answer, and this book is absolutely necessary, and it's shocking that no one's written it, but I'm going to step up and write a book. And he says, I have no dreams of being an author or writing svarim, but this is necessary. Klal Yisrael needs it. Nowadays, you have a lot of times people write a book because you got to write a sefer. You want to be known as a Talmud Chacham, you got to write a sefer. Shech said he once walked into yeshiva on the first day of this month and he saw a guy writing. He said, what are you writing? The guy said, I'm writing a sefer. On what? On the limud that we're doing, on kiddushin, learning kiddushin this month. So when did you start learning it? He said, today. You're writing a sefer? You don't know anything about it. How do you know to write a sefer on it? You have to know something to write a sefer. But not just know something. You have to feel like you have something to contribute. To just write what everyone else is already writing. What are you contributing? We have to try to contribute something when we're gonna write a sefer. So he says this is a critical sefer. I tried to think about why no one else spoke about Chovos HaLevavos. Why no one else wrote about them? So he said maybe it's that these things aren't a chiyuv. The Torah is never mechayev us in Chovos HaLevavos. He says, but that's not true. He says it's clear that the Torah is mechayev us in Chovos HaLevavos many, 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 many times. What do you think that's telling us? We have to love Hashem. It's a mitzvah. Love Hashem Elokech l'shmo b'kol l'davka bo. Love Hashem Elokech l'lovdo b'kol l'vavcha b'kol nafshchem. Achre Hashem Elokech l'teylech v'osel sirou. V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. V'ati yisom Hashem Elokech l'shom yachim l'yira. V'ahavta mazager ki geim reisim v'eretz b'zayim. What are these if not Chovos HaLevavos? These are all Chovos HaLevavos. Lo sachmoreish yisreacha, lo sisava beisreacha, lo sikam, lo sitar, lo sisno sechich vulvecha, lo sisurach revavcha merachayinichem, lo sametz zvavcha, lo sikmos zyadcha, v'chulei, v'chulei, v'chulei. There are tons of chavos halavavos that are explicit in the Torah. And that is a nice mussar. Mitzvos in the Torah that are very clearly chavos halavavos. How could you say that it's not something that's mentioned as a chiyuv in the Torah? It's absolutely a chiyuv in the Torah. Okay, so maybe people didn't write the book, he says. Maybe it's because it was never really discussed after the Torah. Chazal never formulated any formal chiyuvim of chavos halavavos. Says that's also not true. In the other svarim in times of Chazal, it's very clear that we have chavos halavavos. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Rachmana liba bayi, liba ve'ina treis asurei decheta ninu. The Yerushalmi says that the heart and the eyes are the two intermediaries of Avera. And in Pirkei Avos, I mean, there are countless mamarim in Pirkei Avos about the chavos halavavos, about what we have to believe and what we have to think and what we have to desire. And the Gemara Megillah of Zayim and Beis, Bamer Rach the Yamin, each of the Amoraim would ask the Rebbe, why were you Zelchat Arichas Yamin? What was it? What Mida was it? These are all about the Midos. So it's, and he says, just think about it for a second. How important the mind is in determining what a Jew is and service of Hashem and how a Kodesh Baruch Hu views us. You think it's all about the actions, it's all about the Chavos HaYevarim? Contemplate the following for a moment. A person kills somebody, b'mezid, what happens to him? He's chayev misa. Person kills somebody, b'shogeg, what happens to him? He needs to move to a different community. He goes to a near mikla, like we're learning about in Maseches Makos. Person does something, chiv kares, b'mezid. What happens? He's chayev kares. God kills him, cuts him off from olam haba. B'shogeg, what happens? He brings a karban. What do you mean? Same action. In terms of action, mezid and shogeg are equivalent to each other. They're exactly the same. What's the difference between a mezid and a shogeg? The mind. That's it. The action's exactly the same. The result is exactly the same. What you did in this world. The only thing that's different is the mind. So how critical is our mindset in the Jewish religion? And is there a greater raya than that about how critical the mindset is in the Jewish religion? So you say, okay, maybe no one wrote this book yet because maybe it's not always applicable. Maybe these are things that only come up once in a while, like a Shemitah or a Yovel, that it's not binding at all times. So he says, but a Sheri Yanti, Matzas Yishonu Chayim, but Tamid Kol Yemenu. He says, but I found that that's not true either. The Chavos HaLevavos are things that are constant, that we always have to keep with us. He says, Yichud Elokeinu, to believe that God is one, right? When do you have to believe that? Always! Constantly, liyira la'avoso. When do you have, those are mitzvos tmidios? These are things that we're constantly chayiv in doing. He says not to be envious or jealous or hateful of other people. Constant. He says, let's say you have an eved who's he likes to give him a shalom. He says, let's say I have an eved whose master tells him to do two malachos. Ha'achas beveso v'ashenis besada. Do one malacha in the house and another malacha out in the field, like avodas ha'adama, something on the ground or something. And, avodas ha'adama normally lends itself to specific times where you're able to do it. And if those times come and go, and it's too late to plow, it's too late to harvest, everything's ready, so it's gone. But avodas habayis, those are always there. The avodas habayis, that if you didn't do it, you still always have to do it. And even if you did it, you have to do it again. Avodas habayis are constant chores that are always done. Avodas hasada are seasonal. But avodas, that which is done inside, that's constant. So he says, the chavos ha'evarim are like the avodas hasada. That's out there. On Pesach, eat matzah. On Sukkot, you take a lulav. Those are things that come up in certain intervals. But in the pnimis, in the inside, the chavos halvavos, what's inside of us, those are avodas that are constant. Those are things that we always have to be doing. So he says, it's certainly not something that only comes up once in a while. So he says, okay, maybe the reason no one wrote this book is because it's not, there's no way to divide it into enough independent categories. Maybe there aren't enough categories of chavos halavavos to write a whole book about them. He says, well, the opposite is true. He says, chavos ha'evarim you could divide into very clear numbers. Taryag mitzvos. Chavos halavavos are infinite. He's convinced, he says, that when David HaMelech says, l'chol tichla re'isi keitzer u'chava mitzvas chama'od, when David HaMelech says that I've seen that all things have some limit, But mitzvascha, you know, is rechava. It's so broad, it's so beyond broad that you can't possibly, you know, put a number to that. Said that's referring to chavas halvavos. It has to be. That's referring to the emotion of Judaism, what we believe, the hashkafa of Judaism. That's infinite. So he said, okay, maybe this is the reason why no one wrote it. Maybe no one ever wrote this book because it's so obvious, and everyone knows these things, and you don't need to write that which is obvious. Right? Something that's so clear and so obvious. Why would you need to write it? So he says it's not true. It can't be that it was too obvious. He says study a little history of the Jewish people. There were always people that failed in Chavos Halvavos. There are always people that weren't doing the right things as far as their hashkafa was concerned, as far as their interactions with others were concerned, as far as their understanding of God is concerned. So he says, and if that's true of earlier generations, then it's certainly true of our generation. He says there are lots of people that become experts of halacha, become experts of lamdus, but know nothing about chavos halvavos. And that necessarily weakens their observance. Because just as when it comes to an avera, as we said before, the mind is such a critical part of the avera. If you do something b'shogeg versus b'mezid, it's such a... When it comes to a mitzvah also, if you know what you're doing, if you understand who you're serving, you understand what it's all about, the mitzvah's on a much higher level. He says sometimes a person could do one mitzvah and it's more valuable than many, many other mitzvahs. Because those many, many other mitzvahs are done without mindfulness, without an understanding of serving of the Ribbono Shel Olam. But that one little mitzvah that he does with full understanding, with full avoda, with full commitment, that's a much greater mitzvah. So it's not that that it's so obvious that people don't need it. So says the final taina people might have in terms of why this book didn't have to be written is that maybe people will say, I don't need to study Chavos Halvavos. My father told me there is a God. His father told him there is a God. His father told him there is a God. And it goes all the way back to Har Sinai. So good, so I know there is a God. And what does God say? God says, I'm not allowed to be envious, I'm not allowed to, you know, I have to believe in him, I have to love him. Good, I know all these things. I don't need to delve into it, to study it, to analyze it, to learn it up like a Tosfos, you know? I know these things, I can rely on tradition alone. So the author of Chavos Halvavos very strongly, over several pages of this introduction, says that that is a terrible, terrible attitude to have. To just rely on tradition alone, he says, "Ein zeh ro'i ela l'mi she'ein bo yecholas la'ayin." It's good. You can rely on tradition if you don't have your own brain, if you don't have any intellect on your own. If a person is exceedingly limited in his intellectual capacity, kanoshim u'kaketanim v'chasrei adas min ha'anoshim, people who are not educated. Like in those days, women were not educated. So women and children who just simply don't have an education, or men who are uneducated. But someone who's educated, someone who has the ability to analyze things, he says the rest is just laziness. Guy doesn't want to do it. I'll rely on tradition. It's another way of saying I'm too lazy. So a person like that is going to be punished for being so lazy. He says, I'll give you a mashal. He always likes to give a mashal. He says, let's say you have a melech that commanded his eved to be mekabel mamon me'avdei malchuso. You're in charge of collecting money from all the people in the malchus. And you have to count it and make sure you get the right amount. So an eved was a pikeach and a mumcha. He knows exactly how to do it. And but the people tell him, don't worry, you can trust us. You don't have to count. We're giving you the right amount. You don't have to count what we're giving you. It's okay, just trust us. And they bring the money to him, and they say, yeah, don't worry, it's all right, it's the right amount. So they're telling me, they seem honest, you know, why should I count it? They seem like they're giving me the right amount. So he doesn't do what the king tells him, that you have to keep a clear accounting. Right? He doesn't keep a clear accounting. He just does what people say, it's the right amount. Then he gets to the melech. The melech says, okay, give me the money. And the melech says, okay, how much is it exactly? Let me see the cheshbonos. I relied on them. I didn't. So the melech is not going to be satisfied with that. What do you mean? I gave you a job to do. I didn't ask you to just go trust them. I gave you a job to count and make sure. Now, is it possible that everybody was honest? It's possible, but that's not your job. Your job is to see to it that you bring exactly what you're supposed to do. So he says, V'cheinata, imloi yisi yachal agia linyan zemi derech sikhlecha. If you don't have your own seichel, so then, ha'isin nearest tainas chetaina. Then you have a taina, you want to rely on tradition.
But in Paisa, you know, but if you have Avlamata Ish Das Tuna, you're a person of understanding. Shatuch Alamurbel Malbir Mashaki Baltame Acham, Bishema Navim, Mishorshe Das, Vikotve Amaisim, and you can analyze all of our tradition and accept it and then analyze it. Then you're mitzuva to use your intellect to do so. And if you're neglectful of that, so you're like that Eved. So it's not appropriate. And he says, that's what the Pasuk says. Ki yipalei mimcha dvar lemishpat. Bein dam ledam, bein din ledin, bein nega lenega, divir rivos b'sharecha, vasis al piyadav asher yagidu lecha. When do you rely on asher yagidu lecha? That which they told you, he says, look at what the Pasuk says. The Pasuk says, when you have a matter of mishpat, a din, bein dam ledam means, you're trying to figure out if something tameh is something tahar. Trying to figure out, bein din ledin, is this kechayiv money or not chayiv money? Nega le nega, you might find a tumas tzaraah, something like that. So these kinds of things, something kosher, not kosher, you can rely on tradition for things like that. It's amazing. He says, when can you rely on tradition? For Jewish law, for chavos ha'ivarim. For chavos ha'levavos, there's no hadavar asher yagidu lecha. There's no relying on tradition. Most people think of it the opposite. That when it comes to matters of halacha, that's where we need our own investigation. But when it comes to matters of bitachon and hashkafa, that's purely tradition. He says, no, it can't be purely tradition. Tradition plays a role, but it's not purely tradition. And he says, there are gemaras that highlight, he goes on to say that a wise man would always seek the or hatzafun, the hidden light that's inside each and every one of us. And he says, you know, a lot of times people spend a lot of time discussing hypotheticals in halacha. Things that cases that never happened, never will happen, and they just bring up all sorts of hypotheticals to discuss. He says, why don't your time be better spent dealing with the chavos halavos? You have to know all the principles of halacha. You have to know all the basics of halacha. You have to know all the background. But in terms of just coming up with all sorts of crazy hypotheticals, maybe it's better to spend our time being involved in chavos halavos instead. He said, he writes that halo yadatim lo shamata highlights knowledge gained on our own. Yadata imlo shamata. Yadata and shamata are both critical. We need to know. Yadata means knowledge gained on our own, and shamata, we need what we hear from tradition, shmiya. So he says, so this book is absolutely necessary. No one's written it yet. He says, and I have rayas that the way we deal with halacha today is not the way people used to deal with it. It used to be, when a halachic situation came up, if they knew what the tradition was, so then they relied on their tradition. And if they didn't know what the tradition was, imshamu amr lahem, right? That's what the Gemara says. If they knew what the halacha was, so then they would say the halacha. If they had a tradition, then they would say the halacha. V'imlav, omdim l'minyan. Otherwise, they would take a vote. And taking a vote and analyzing it on the spot. And they would go with the majority opinion. That's the way it always was. And he highlights that halachic expertise was apparently not the end-all and be-all based on two different Gemaras. He has a Gemara Maseches Brachos Tav Chaf and a Gemara Avodah Zarah Daf Yizayin and Beis. The Gemara Brachos Tav Chaf reads, B'shnei Rav Yehuda Kula Tnuyeh B'Nezikin Havu. During Rav Yehuda's years, when Rav Yehuda was the leader of the Jewish people, everyone knew Seder and Nezikin really well. And we know everything. We don't just know Nezikin. We know all six Sidrei Mishnah. We know everything. And yet, Rav Yehuda Ber, Rav Yehuda's time, they only knew Nezikin. And yet what happened? When Rav Yehuda Kadav Shalav Masaneh, Hava Asi Mitra, if we needed rain, because there wasn't enough rain, Rav Yehuda would take off one shoe as a sign that he's about to do Nilas HaSandal, that he's asking Nilas HaSandal as a sign of fasting for rain. By the time he took off one shoe, it started pouring. That's how quickly Hashem answered his tefillos. But we go, and we daven, and we fast, and we do, and still Hashem doesn't answer us. Why is that? Why is Rav Yehuda get answered? In his years, there was no, the people weren't nearly as educated as we are now. Amrulei kamay yavu masrin avshayel al kedushas Hashem. Ananla masrin nafshin al kedushas Hashem. They had a sense of mesiris nefesh. They had a sense of kiddush Hashem. These are things that are chovos halavavos. Ultimately, our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu will depend more on chovos halavavos than on chovos ha'ivarin. And then he goes on to say, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us, Amar Avuna, Kala Osik B'Torah, Bilvad, Doma Kamisha Eino Aloka. If a person only learns Torah, it's as if he doesn't have a God. Shenemar V'yam Rav L'Yisrael Lo El Kayemes. El B'Torah Gmilz Chesed. The person has to have Torah and Chesed. The person has to be a good person. The person has to engage in more than just the study of Torah. So he goes on to write that the purity of our minds is critical, the purity of our hearts is critical in order to understand the Chovos HaLevavos. And he says, you know, a lot of times people serve Hashem and do mitzvos, but we don't really have an understanding of what we're doing. We don't have an understanding of the theology of Judaism. He says, think about it. When you have a friend who you know is dishonest, who says something but always means something else, who's deceitful, who's conniving, you never trust him. You don't like people like that. He's not going to be your friend for very long. People don't like people like that. So if, is that the way we're going to serve Hashem? We're going to approach Hashem and do. We're going to do a lot of things on the outside. But on the inside, we don't believe any of those things that we're doing. We don't connect with any of those things that we're doing. Well, then, why would Hashem like a person like that? No one trusts such a person. So he says, so I had to write this book. And he said, so I started learning and delving into the Chovos HaLevavos. And then I realized how deep it is and how profound it is. And I started writing things down because I knew that I was going to forget things if I don't write things down. And then once I started writing out all the Chovos HaLevavos in a clear way, I started using it as a measuring stick for my own life. Am I measuring up to the things that I wrote? Am I living up to all the things that I'm saying? And I realized that this could be a tremendous tool for people to be able to measure our own success in our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So they say, I was really excited about this. What a project. Right? And Marty Belibi, Shachaber Binyan Azeh Sefer. I'm going to write a book that's going to be Mischalik al Shroshi Chovos HaLevavos. It will divide up into categories. Everyone will know everything they need to know. But then he says, Kasher Zamamti Lasos Mashes Kamti Lev Mechibur HaSefer Azeh Re'isi Keinish Kamoni Ro'i Lechaber Chibur Kamohu. So then I started thinking more. Am I the right guy to write a book like this? V'shiyarti B'nafshi Kikochi Kotzer Mechalik Machlokosu Kfiat Tzarech Lav. Do I really know enough about the Chovos HaLevavos to be the one to write the book on the Chovos HaLevavos? I realized, Kotzer Daiti, Chalishus Sichli, I don't really fully understand all these things. I'm not this great Jewish philosopher. I'm not this great Gadol. Maybe I shouldn't be the one to write it. And here's the greatest mussar, I think, in the whole introduction, he says. After thinking about how I shouldn't be the one to write it and leaving aside this project, he said, I realized that was my laziness talking. That was my Yetzer Hara talking. It's so easy to say, oh, who am I? Who am I to do something? Anivus is very critical. It's very important. It's the most important midah, to be an anav. But we have to be very careful that anivus shouldn't come at the expense of zihirus. That if a person has the ability to be a zariz and a zahir and to do things and to accomplish, don't use anivus as an excuse not to do something. Can you imagine if he never would have written the rest of this book? Some sofer sat there reading it 15 minutes every day. This is a critical book in our history. It's critical to understanding how we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he almost didn't write it. Why? Because who am I? Who am I to write such a book? Ooh, we are. He is somebody, and he can write such a book. So he says, so I wrote the book, and I wrote it in the following structure, with the following style. 10 principles. It's all based on 10 sha'arim. There are 10 gates that are the 10 principles. And he goes through what the ten gates are. He lists the 10 gates. There's achdus of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's the tshuva and whatever, anivus. He goes through all the different sha'arim in the introduction, the 10 sha'arim, and within each sha'ar, it's broken down into categories. He says, I try to use practical language as much as possible, that people should be able to understand it. He says, I do quote from other philosophers, from other from secular philosophers, because I think it makes it understandable, and I think it helps us understand our own hashkafa. And I use a lot of mishalim, because people, it works, mashal works, there's nothing like a good mashal. He says, this is not a dama l'hashiv book, it's not a, know what to respond to, not because this is about what we are. It's about finding the precious HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave each Jew the ability to know Him and to understand our relationship with Him. He says, like someone, has these old rusted coins, and someone else comes and says, do you know what you have over here? And he starts polishing them up, and you see that it's the most pristine, beautiful silver. You just need to polish it off. He says, that's what I'm trying to do for people. That people, through this book, should be able to find that spark, should be able to find what HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us with. But he says, I wrote it very quickly, So I probably made a lot of mistakes. So go easy on me. If I made a lot of mistakes, you know, don't get upset at me. And he says, I just want to close with the mashal, because everything always works with the mashal. He says, imagine you have a king who wants to test his servants. So he gives his servants different types of fabric to make nice clothing out of. He gives a very expensive fabric, medium-level fabric, and a low-level fabric. So he says the fool in amongst the king's servants is going to use everything he has to make what the righteous and diligent servant made exclusively out of the inferior material, and then he sells the good stuff for whatever price he can get, and he spends those earnings on food and drink or whatever. But the smart one, the smart servant, is going to put each type of fabric to its best possible use. He's going to use good craftsmen to turn the material into nice suits and things of different styles and colors, and he's going to wear them in the king's presence to always impress the king that he did exactly what the king wanted. So he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a lot of different levels of chachma, and we have to know when to use them and how to use them. There are things that are, you know, riddles and whatever, and that's not what we're supposed to be focused on with our, we're not supposed to. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Torah, he gave us Chachmas HaTorah. Chachmas HaTorah, that should be our emphasis, that should be our focus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the ability to understand Him, that should be our emphasis. So when we use these three parts, you know, we should use all of our intellect, but know which intellectual endeavors are worthy of great emphasis, and which intellectual endeavors are worthy of a lower level of emphasis. And the Chovos HaLevavos is where it all starts. That has to be the foundation for everything. It's the foundation for everything we believe, and it's the foundation for everything that we therefore do. Okay, so the Chovos HaLevavos is an important book.